the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And then, when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord Jesus.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The season of Easter comes to its conclusion with the celebration of Pentecost Sunday. And as you heard, two versions of Pentecost are presented to us. The first from the Acts of the Apostles, actually the very beginning of the Acts of the Apostles with the story of Pentecost. And then from John's Gospel, the selection of Jesus coming to the disciples on the very night of the resurrection. But while they are different approaches or different presentations of the coming of the Spirit upon the apostles, they both have the same content, the same intent. In both cases, the Spirit comes upon the disciples in order that they might be empowered, with the gift of the Spirit, namely the gift of God, that which is between the Father and the Son, the gift of the Spirit of love that lives between the Father and the Son, that Spirit might come upon them in order that they might be imbued with the gift of God's love, and they might be empowered by that gift to go forth, to bring the good news to others. In a sense, the gift of the Spirit can best be described as a gift of wisdom. The gift of wisdom that opens the eyes of those who are gifted in order that they might come to know the truth of themselves and the larger truth of the world in which they live. That they may come to see themselves in Christ as one. And so that's the other theme that comes from the Feast of Pentecost. The first theme being that of coming to life in God. The second theme, and that theme approached with mission. The second theme, which also contains the element of mission, is the unity. As you heard in the first reading, all of these different people are assembled in Jerusalem. And when the disciples, filled with the Spirit, go out among the people, each heard in their own language. They heard the message of Jesus. They heard the good news. But the idea being that they all heard it in their own language, recognizing again how the difference of language does not put us apart, but the difference of language brings us together in the mystery of Jesus. And you have to remember that that particular approach contradicts, in a sense, the story of the Tower of Babel. You might remember that from the Old Testament, the Jewish scripture, how in a sense people were divided by language, and the human made an attempt to come up with some way of bringing them together in a false approach. that create a false unity, but it falls apart. But here, true unity is established. True unity is established by the power of the Spirit who brings all together, but brings them together not in some way that in a sense they're all the same, but brings them together with their uniqueness, with their specialness, because their uniqueness and specialness is a gift of God. And God wants us to see the beauty of difference, the beauty of uniqueness, and how, in a sense, we are not negated by that, we're not drawn down by that, but we're lifted up by that. We're lifted up by recognizing the greatness of God, that God can bring us together in the oneness of God's life. And so Pentecost, which, as I say, becomes the end of the Easter season, is also the beginning of God's new creation. Because the mission of the church, under the inspiration of the Spirit, is continually to work about bringing together. Jesus says in that night, when he appears on the night of the resurrection, he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit and go forth now to carry out the work of reconciliation, the work of unifying, the work of bringing together." We know how important that is in our own day, when we deal with so much division, so much negativity, how important it is for us as church to be the voices of reconciliation, to be the voice of unity, not voices that are mirroring the offensive language that is so prevalent around us, but to be the voice of unity, the voice that basically says the glory of God can be seen. The glory of God can be seen in the diversity of the human family. The glory of God can be experienced in the diversity of the human family. The glory of God can be celebrated in the diversity of the human family. And so rather than seeing enemies or seeing dangers or seeing that which frightens us, we must learn to see the glory of God in the diversity. We must celebrate it and we must proclaim it, for ultimately it is our future, the future that God has designed for us to live in harmony and in peace.